C1SP. Number 12A.
This morning we stopped in the middle of the subject on principle, on mind reading, and to recapitulate what we have seen in this fourth subject, we have seen that we must define first the right standpoint from which we should read the mind. That's the principal subject. There are two standpoints from which to read. We know that there is mortal mind reading and immortal mind reading. And so this whole subject is explained and covered in this subject, showing first principle as mind, that we read always the mind, not people, that we read thought and not people, and that mind reading and thought reading should seem something natural and not something supernatural, that if we are educated in it, it is easy and not something difficult. So, having stated that there is thought reading and mind reading, Mrs. Eddy goes a step further to principle as a spirit. Spirit always orders things by showing up the categories, by dividing up things, chaos, into order, and shows that there are many stages of mentality and that there is no intercommunion between differing consciousness, that there is no communion between a mole and a human being, just as there is no intercommunion between spiritual life and mortal life, or spiritual consciousness and mortal consciousness. Having shown the differences of mentalities, she has to tackle a third question, namely, which says, whatever the mentality may be, they all have the same authority. And so Mrs. Eddy shows that this is not true, that this is just a claim of any mental system and of mentality, that the quality of mentality doesn't matter, that as long as something is mental, that it can do the works of mentality. And so Mrs. Eddy explains here and says that the mentality of mortal mind can never equal the divine mind works, that the works of wisdom, the works of the divine mind cannot be equaled or cannot be equaled by mortal mind and human mind. And therefore gives us the key to the understanding why the prophets of Baal couldn't do the same thing as the prophets of Jehovah, or why the magicians of Egypt couldn't equal the works of Moses. And so it is that we must see that not any old mental system can equal the system of the divine mind. What the system of divine mind wants to achieve is really what now the next subject, principle as principle, explains, namely the divine mind through reading, it wants to reveal the content of the divine mind. The divine mind reading is an interpretation of the nature of the divine mind, to see the origin, purpose, and authority of the divine mind. Whereas she shows that interpretation from the standpoint of mortal mind, that only touches human beliefs. We have here the two big definition of mortal mind reading and of immortal mind reading, which are very important, I think, to consider quietly and ponder them, because they show that the purpose of immortal mind reading is a very different purpose than mortal mind reading. It isn't so. He has just shown before, in principle as soul, that these two faculties of mortal mind reading and immortal mind reading do not equal each other. So that their purpose is not the same. We do not want to achieve the same thing as spiritualists want to achieve with the divine mind. That what the spiritualism wants to achieve with mortal mind reading is not the same what we want to achieve with immortal mind reading. See, although the purpose and the aim is different. And especially in this aim lies the great difference, and shows up if mind reading is imbued by Christianity or just by curiosity. If it is imbued by Christianity, which it must be if we read from the divine mind, then it has quite a different purpose and aim than the aim of spiritualism, which is just mostly imbued by a deep sense of curiosity. But the immortal mind reading, she says, is a revelation of divine purpose. Of divine purpose. It's not investigating any old human purpose, any mortal purpose, any mortal happening. It's an investigation and revelation of the divine purpose. See, with divine mind reading, with which we are concerned, and of which she said in principle so, that should influence us, is a mind reading whose purpose and aim and content and attitude is to investigate the whole content of the immortal mind. And she says that immortal mind reading, which is a revelation of divine purpose, that it is established through spiritual understanding. See, it's established, through spiritual understanding. So the medium of immortal mind reading, as we have seen yesterday, is in science understanding. Whereas the medium in mortal mind reading, in spiritualism, is always a person, a personal medium, and a personal spirit. So the medium is very different. The medium is spiritual understanding. So we can see that whenever we were pondering and studying the nature of God, we were really culturing the true spiritual medium, the only medium, spiritual understanding, which through which medium we are able to perceive clearer and clearer the divine purpose, by which man gains the divine principle and explanation of all things. See, she says that really at the end of divine mind reading, the purpose of divine mind reading is really God, the divine principle. Divine principle from which everything can be interpreted and explained, and which afterwards she shows in principle as life, shows that makes us a true prophet. Whereas on the other side, the other mental systems which know mind reading are basing themselves on mortal mind, and so must be termed mortal mind reading. And what is their purpose and their aim? It's to investigate and to touch human beliefs. See, on one side you have immortal mind reading, which investigates and touches the divine principle of all. And in immortal mind reading, it's all sniffing around in the humbug and in that garbage heap of human beliefs. That's all that it does. It's a sniffing around, a curiosity. Yes, that's what it is. And finding out what this person does and that person does, what that this person's fault is and what that person should do and so on. It's all concerned with human beliefs. You see, it's so low, really. I must say that in these last few weeks, as I was studying the second part of spiritualism, I got such a higher or cleaner sense of Christian Science than ever before, through contrast, really, of what any other mental system wants to achieve. If other people are interested in mortal mind reading, it isn't because they are bad, because they don't know something better, and think that in mortal mind reading lies a help or lies a future. But once one sees the origin and purpose, the beginning and the end of mortal mind reading, one can see how futile that whole thing is. It always revolves around in the old garbage heap. There's nothing more to it. It starts from mortal mind and from mortal beliefs, and it uses as its medium just personal beliefs and personal sense, and as its purpose there stands nothing more there than also human beliefs. And so we can see how important, therefore, it is to not to be mesmerized by all this hullabaloo of mortal mind and all the phenomena of mortal mind, that we turn away really consciously to the contemplation and investigation of immortal mind reading, where through spiritual understanding we try to touch the principle of all things. And that leads us further to the tone of principle as life, where she shows us that only really such a divine standpoint, that only divine mind reading enables us to be a prophet, a scientific prophet. That whole subject of principle as life is dealing with prophecy, with scientific foreseeing, scientific foresight, with what makes us a true seer and prophet, how we can know the past, present and future, how we can foresee and foretell events concerning what? To foresee and foretell what? And that, I think, is the important point. She says, what concerns the universal welfare, to reach the range of fetterless mind. See, there we are prophets. We are not the prophet if we can foretell a doom and a catastrophe of an individual or of a nation in 10 or 20 years. That's not the prophet. That's foretelling mortal belief. That's establishing a mortal belief, and the more we believe in it, the surer we can be that it has its effect. But that's nothing saving. That's nothing exalted. What we have to see, and in which we have to be a prophet, is to see the way out of the chaos of mortal mind. It's to see out individually and collectively the way out of that whole roundabout of mortal mind, so that we can jump off of this rhythm of mortal mind and go into the direct line of spirit. That is a prophet. The prophet is not concerned with foretelling somebody or a patient that in 2 days or in 2 weeks or in 2 months he's going to die or has an accident or this or that. That's no prophecy. Prophecy is defined as the disappearance of material sense before the conscious facts of spiritual truth. That's prophecy. And how do we get that? How can we get that prophecy? Well, If we go the order, we become, as she says, prophets involuntary. The moment as we go through those subtones of principle as mind and principle as spirit and principle as soul and stick to principle as principle, where we only are interested in interpreting mind through the ideas of mind for the purpose of knowing mind more and more, then we begin to touch fetterless mind, where we reach the range of fetterless mind. That's a true prophet. And so, in this paragraph, she shows that the true prophet goes out always from that incorporeal standpoint, the spiritual incorporeal standpoint of principle, whereas the false prophet, she says, goes out from a corporeal material standpoint, from the standpoint of corporeality. So we can see that whatever mortal mind prophesies is only a projection of its own beliefs. That mortal minds, as we know, evolves its own images of thought and calls it prophecy. But it is just a build-up and an evolution of mortal mind itself. But to become a seer who sees more into the metaphysics of being, that's a prophet. A prophet who is not interested in the worldly affairs and how every detail of the worldly affairs is going to happen. But the prophet is the one who sees higher than the physical senses. Is a consciousness where the testimony of the physical senses disappear for a higher, more concrete, more tangible realm of spiritual perception, spiritual understanding. That's a prophet. And we can see that we can only become a prophet truly and really if we first base ourselves on immortal mind reading, of interpreting everything from the point of view of divine mind, through the nature of divine minds, namely through ideas, for the only purpose of seeing clearer and clearer the infinitude of mind, the range of fetterless mind. So let's be clear that if another mind reader or clairvoyant prophesies and foretells doom and decay, accidents and so on, let's see that it is just the build-up of mortal mind. It's mortal mind reading investigate their own human beliefs. And the more we subjugate ourselves to these beliefs, the clearer these forecasts will happen. But if we really file a mental protest and in the direction that mind governs body and brain, that mind governs men, that mind governs our life, that mind, divine mind, governs our whole future, then all these so-called forecasts of disaster can have no effect on us. And herein really lies the grandeur of Christian Science. Those who don't know Christian Science but are interested in any mentalism, they are really to be pitied, because they have no protection. They have no Christ to save themselves. If something, if doom is predicted on them, they feel helpless and they accept it as their destiny that it will come to happen, and usually comes to happen. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So, we have a Savior, see, we certainly have a Savior. Science is a Savior. And therefore the next tone, truth, principle as truth, shows us that there is a Savior in immortal mind reading. That immortal mind reading is the Savior that comes and saves us from any false prediction. And this part is really, when one considers it, a very important and a very comforting part. It deals with the sense that in a scientific knowledge, in a scientific foreknowing, the side note down on the page is scientific foreknowing, that in the scientific foreknowing, which she has been dealing in principle as life, you see, that in this scientific foreknowing, error is discerned as error, and the moment error is discerned as error, it begins to yield to truth. You see, it's the Savior now that comes in. She shows now that as we have recognized clearly and truly what real mind reading is, and have seen that we can be a prophet voluntary and involuntary, namely that we can go fall back on the divine principle and look at the whole universe, at every situation, at our future, at our life from the point of view of the divine principle, that then we are the father really to our life, that's principle as life. This principle becomes our fatherhood sense, where we father the universe, we father our future. And as we do that and build up that which concerns the universal welfare, that which has divine purpose, well, that becomes a savior to any downward tendency, to any downward forecasting and foretelling which is destructive. And so through building up this consciousness of what constitutes the true realm of truth, through this consciousness we begin to discern the error that needs to be destroyed and destroys it. That whole passage of principle as truth has a lot to do with that sense of discerning the error you would destroy. And you remember how Mr. Dolly put so much accent on this point in his talks on Christian Science practice. The whole subject here speaks about how to know everything correctly, how to know the truth more accurately, how everything that constitutes harmony must be revealed, that we have to know and read the thought scientifically, that we have to discern the error, to discern disease, that Jesus discerned the signs of the times, that he knew the generations, and that he knew that truth would communicate itself and impart truth. See, now we come to that standpoint where we begin to see that true mind reading, or we could also say that true reasoning within the realm of mind, that true scientific spiritual reasoning and pondering within the realm of mind, that builds up a consciousness of truth which by the fact of opposites can discern the opposites that needs to be destroyed and destroys it. See, when you read that passage, you can't help feeling how here she gives the Christ touch and Christ translation for the first time in this tone of principle, how she says that she indicates that Christ's power that comes from God, she says all we correctly know comes from God, the divine principle. You see, she said all that we correctly know comes from God. Well, in spiritualism we are not starting with God, and so we know a lot, but all we know is not correctly, because it comes from human belief. It's knowing, and it's knowing a lot, and it's investigating and sniffing into everything, but it's not knowing correctly something. So all that we correctly know comes from God. And she says that this true perception of being destroys the belief of spiritualism. You see, always when we come to truth, as we said yesterday, when we are conscious of that which is true, we cannot be at the same time conscious of that which is not true. So the consciousness of truth always uncovers what is not true. They go hand in hand. He says this soul sense comes to the human mind. You just can feel the Christ sense, that Christ that comes from God to the human mind, when the latter yields to the divine mind, and shows that Jesus discerned error in this way and healed the sick. So we begin here to see that mind reading, immortal mind reading, becomes the Christ to mortal mind reading, becomes the Christ to the human mind. In other words, that we know that being born as a mortal, having a mortal body, having a mortal concept, living in a world of mortality and materiality, we are naturally surrounded from day in and day out by all sorts of beliefs. 1,000-year-old beliefs, 1,000,000-year-old beliefs, hereditary beliefs, common beliefs, unusual beliefs, cosmic beliefs, individual beliefs, nation beliefs, climate beliefs, racial beliefs, theological beliefs, all sorts of beliefs. We are just surrounded day in and day out. And the Christian Science versus Spiritualism says, how do we get out of that muddle of mortal mind? How can you raise yourself once out of this whole sea of mortal mind? Because once we have to rise out of it. If we don't rise out of it, we can die and die how many times. It is always within the old sense of mortal belief. How to get out of it? How to get out of an individual belief? False belief. How to get out afterwards of a collective false belief or a universal false belief? And here she gives the answer to it. In principle as truth, she gives the answer. This subtone of principle as truth is built up in a marvelous way through seven subtones again, which I will show you correspond so nicely and so clearly with what John Dolittle has always told us, how he begins a treatment in his book on the practice. He wasn't aware really that when he in his practice talk he showed the method in which he gives a treatment until he discerns the error which needs to be destroyed. He wasn't aware that he was using the same order as Mrs. Eddy in this very point gives as an order, namely here in principle as truth through its subtones. We'll see that. But just to begin with, let's see what the point here is, namely that in the measure as we have built up and cultured through principle as mind and principle as spirit and principle as soul, a standpoint of principle as principle which says, all right, I sit at the right hand of God and look out from principle and interpret the universe from the throne of principle, and from the throne of principle I can only see what is like principle. And in this way I begin to see above principle as life, I begin to see above the mortal consciousness and raise myself above that mortal level, that mortal sea of human beliefs, and become a seer, a scientific seer and prophet. And in doing that, in rising myself consciously above this mortal belief, I free myself naturally from what I leave behind, from the errors that need to be destroyed.